these containers into one jar that was just had a little bit in it. And we didn't want it all to go to waste, it seemed, in this little picture I was seeing. And by the time I was all done, I was thirsty after pouring it all in this one vase. And so I got me a drink, and it tasted very bitter. So I started looking at the jar, and I seen clumps. Like, I don't know if anybody's done this before, but I've gotten drink of milk in the middle of the night, and there were clumps in it. And I was taking good milk and putting in one jar that was really bad. And so the Lord was just showing me in my heart that there were parts where I was trying to put good in where there was some bad there. Not that I was bad, but there was just things that he wanted to pour into a fresh jar. And he wanted me to empty out that one that had clumps in it. And so, you know, I just had to examine myself and see if there was, you know, anything that was there that the God couldn't pour his good into me today, that you know, I had some junk here. And so, you know, I just said, Lord, just forgive me if there was, you know, anywhere in my heart that you can't pour into me all the good that you want today and everything that you have for me, because I don't want no junk there, and I didn't want no spoiled milk or, you know, whatever. But you know, I just think that's for everyone, that, you know, we can look at ourselves and you know, ask God, is there anything there that, you know, is preventing me from just having everything and letting you fill me up with everything you have, all the good you have. And he has good for everyone here. And he wants to pour that good milk in and everything he has for us. So, you know, just examine yourself today if that's for you. It was for me for sure. But when I did that, I just felt like just a release and a freedom to just really be open to whatever he had for me and to pour all he had for me. So,
today, Lord, we just receive them from you. Heaven come to earth today. Kingdom come to earth today. Here we are, Lord, baskets ready for the overflowing bread. Baskets ready for the overflowing fish. Here we are, Lord, just your children. But oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege to be your kid. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. May you receive this worship, Holy One. Receive it unto you. Unto you. Every word, every note, every dance, Lord. All unto you, all unto you. You're the only one worthy. The only one worthy. The only one. The only one, Lord. You deserve it all. We give it unto you fully, completely, willingly. Offer you this glory. Offer you this praise. Offer you this worship. Sweet smelling offering. A sweet perfume. May it be sweet to you, Lord, and pure from our hearts. Yes, Lord. Do what you want to do today, Holy Spirit. Go beyond us. Break down our walls. Open up our hearts. Take away the fear. 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 Take away the fear, Lord. Oh, yes. We feel your sweet presence, Lord. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. Your sweet, sweet, sweet presence, Lord. We're encountering you today. We don't want to just come and leave without encountering you, Lord. You're so heavy today, it's easy for us just to encounter you. Just to feel your holy presence, your sweet presence. You want to change anything, Lord? Go ahead. You want to change anyone, Lord? Go ahead. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Woo. Yes, Lord. Bless your name. Okay. Don't let me forget. Woo! You know, it's awfully fine worship when the pastor is sweating before he gives the message. Oh, yeah. I figure you haven't worshiped with your whole heart and your whole self until you sweat. What's a little perspiration between friends? That's it? Okay. Do you have the video or are you going to work on that? Okay. Just give me like a... We have a little video, hopefully they'll come up, that shows the gifts that we bought for the children's home, the Frontline Children's Home in southern India. I mean, nothing sweeter than to give gifts to children. That's why I think God likes to do that with us. You know, we're not beggars. We can release the children. Did I forget to do that? When you come back. All right. I know it. Oh, you have it up already. Wow. Here we go. Love it. Won't be too long, we'll be listening to that in person. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just are filled with joy, Lord, just to see how you treat your loved ones thousands of miles away from here and get to partner with you. What a joy that is for us, Father. Pray today that we would partner with Holy Spirit as you want to dig into our hearts. And you want an open door. You want to be able to go into every room. You want us to take the key and unlock even the closets, even the basement. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come on in. Go to the secret places. Touch us in ways we've never been touched. To prepare for a year that we've never lived through. We need that from you, Lord. We need that from our Father. Give us the gifts we need to build the kingdom while we're enjoying them. Stretch us, Lord. Stretch us so much we won't be able to recognize ourselves very shortly. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in ways that we've never heard you before. Depths that we've never gone to before, Lord. Take us there. Lead us. Show us the way. After all, we are just sheep. Empowered sheep, but still led by you, as you were led by your Father. Thank you, Lord. We receive it all from your hand today. Fill up our baskets again to overflowing. Fish flopping around outside of the baskets. Just so much, Lord. And I pray we wouldn't keep it for ourselves, but we would give it away. Thank you, Jesus. We rely on you. We follow you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. How are we doing? Doing well? Good. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Mary Pat should be in Florida right now, probably on the beach. Laid out, skip church, just so you know. Actually, she's visiting her parents down in Naples, Florida. So she left early this morning. I had the privilege of taking her to the hospital in the freezing cold. Excuse me. I've said hospital so much over the last 2 years. Airport, not the hospital. We stay away from those places. Much as we can. Yes, airport. She did fly out of a hospital one time, but we don't want to repeat that. So she actually left me here in charge of Frontline all by myself. Scary. Not for me, it's scary for you. Thank you, Lord. Well, I was going to give this before the year ended, but it's almost as good right now. It has to do with strategies that the enemy has to take you out this year. I would take a little bit of exception to that if I were you. I'd be a little enraged in the spirit if I were you. He already has strategies to take you out, take you down, separate you from those you love, divide you from the body of Christ, come into your marriage and stir up a little trouble there. He wants to come against children being born in this body. Think of it. On and on and on. The horrible things he has planned and strategized. But you shouldn't have a concerned look on your face. You should be joyful. Because the Father already knows every strategy that the enemy could possibly come up with. Remember, he created Satan. If you thought that Satan always existed, the devil always existed, not so. He's a created being. Whereas God is omnipresent, always present, present everywhere. You can't sneak up on God, in other words. You can't sneak up on the Father and go, boom! He would know you're behind him. He would know what corner you are hiding behind. Sneak up on him. I was telling someone this week that I knew a guy a couple decades ago now, I guess. and he was telling me about his time in Australia. He said, I was on guard duty for the United States Army in Australia. And I heard, while I was on that guard duty, of another person that was on guard duty, that they came around the corner of a building and that person was met with a kangaroo. You know, cuddly little cute kangaroo. Aw, what a cute little... No, he came around the corner, he had his gun, and the kangaroo took his feet, lifted him up, bam! Knocked him to the ground, and then ran off. So here's this armed guard, supposed to be guarding the base, gets taken down by a kangaroo. How do you write up that report? Oh, nothing happened tonight much. Got attacked by a lone kangaroo with lethal feet. Yeah, you can't do that with Father God. Can't sneak up on him. Omnipresent, always present. Omniscient, always knowing, all knowing, knows what's going on, knows what's happening. Has known it from the past and knows it right now. There's nothing the enemy has planned against you that God doesn't already know about. That should be rather comforting this morning. That should put a smile on your face this morning rather than concern that the enemy has all these terrible plans to try to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. I would say he likes the kill one the best. Think how God has protected us. If the one he likes the best is kill, think how Father has protected us this past year. Amazing. Well, because he knows exactly what the enemy is going to do. And if we partner with him, oh my, does that increase the shield over our lives. Father already loves you so much that he has shielded you from dying this past year while the enemy has tried all his tricks to try to get that done. Now, if you start cooperating with the enemy, I would say your chances go the other direction, don't you think? Don't you think? Well, I'll just dismiss Father God. I don't really care about him. In fact, he's boring. His music is boring. He himself, he's boring. God is so boring that I'm going to have an exciting life for myself. Oh, you sure will. Some of us have had some of those exciting times. And the pleasure doesn't last, does it? The only pleasure that lasts is getting close to Jesus, allowing Holy Spirit to come in. That peace can last beyond this service. It can help you in any trial, any tribulation, any health emergency that you might face this year. So if you have gone against Father God's plan in this past year in, you know, quite a strong way, and you're still here, that means he really went out of his way, grace-wise and mercy-wise, to take care of you. Awesome. But what if you were cooperating with him? You actually prayed against disease, prayed against sickness, prayed for someone else. You're just bolstering what Father God's shield can do. You're just cooperating with Father God. But if you run the other way and come up with an excuse about how this Heavenly Father just doesn't care about you, then obviously the enemy has a little bit more of an open door to come in and bring about some of the strategies that he has against you. Father God, our general, doesn't develop counter strategies. You know, the enemy attacks. Oh, God's like, I've got to come up with a counter strategy to defeat the enemy. No. The enemy was going to do it, so there is no counter strategy. He already put the strategy in place with the cross and the resurrection and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Someone was trying to teach me this week from the Old Testament. What about Job? That was the question. I said, we're under a new covenant. What applied to Job doesn't apply to us in the same way. Better covenant. Since Jesus. Since the resurrection. Better. I like better. Always have. Better ice cream. Love it. Better pizza. Gotta love it. Better noodles. You knew it was coming. Father God, our general doesn't develop counter strategies because Father, being all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present, prepared for Satan's strategies before there was a devil. He is never taken off guard. He is not the guy coming around the corner with a kangaroo waiting. Never, never, never. So if you partner with him, the enemy is done. I said the enemy is done. I know it's Sunday morning, but you know. I know Tuesday night you would have right away, but Jesus even said, before Abraham was, I am. One with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, before Abraham. That shook up the Pharisees. You kind of think they would know God existed. But then they see him in the flesh, kind of took them off guard. Didn't know what to think of Jesus, did they? Had the Messiah right in their midst, the one they've been waiting for, missed him. Who is he? Can't be this guy. He came out of too small a place, quietly. Our king's going to come marching in and take care of these Romans. About time. So what are some of those strategies of the enemy? I mentioned some of them in general, but he wants to attack your emotional health. Ooh, let's get down and dirty. Emotional health. Depression. Far too many people in the body of Christ are suffering from depression. Never say to yourself, well, I was diagnosed with clinical depression. Never allow a label on yourself. I have ADD. Don't allow that. Don't speak it out. Don't label yourself. It's a cooperation with the enemy's labels for you. You're a child of the King. There is no ADD in heaven. There is no depression, no need for it in heaven. And if we're saying, as Jesus told us to, bring heaven to earth, Lord, depression has to go. If you need someone to pray for you for it to go, invite that in 2011. But don't think you have to stay in it because you were diagnosed or because you've gone through it before, whatever. Today, this year, is breakthrough. For you, no more depression. It's an attack of the enemy. He comes against your heart. He comes against your mind. He comes against your emotions. And he wants to drag you down. The New Testament is filled with not depression, but joy. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be Fuerza.
Fuerza. Fuerza.
Not empty. Oh yes, I've heard those verses before, but I still get depressed. Then you might need some delivering prayer. It's not just your run-of-the-mill depression. Gee, I don't feel so hot today. Wow, I'm feeling kind of low today. But it lasts for a season. Why wouldn't you want to get rid of that? It should not be your friend. It should not be my friend at all. And I know for a fact it doesn't have to exist in the child of God. I know for a fact. Because people are released from it so quickly, so easily, when they're prayed for. It's a spiritual thing, but it affects our emotions. Well, if I stay on that one, whoa, got a long ways to go. Resentment, loneliness, any negative emotions like resentment, loneliness, anger, deception. The enemy wants to attack us with deception. It's very sad to see one person that is deceived. They don't know how far off they are. And when you try to tell them the Word of God, you try to tell them even words from heaven that God gives you for them, it bounces off like they're the hard soil and the seed won't penetrate. When a person is deceived, the enemy wants to get us into that position of being deceived. Everyone is against me. No one cares for me. It's a lie. I care about you. That's one. There's two. We'll get on either side of you and make a sandwich. Discouragement, disillusionment. I thought this Christian thing was going to be easier. Well, you have to die first. Like I said, I thought it was going to be easier. Can I just eat popcorn and live the Christian life? That'd be nice. It's not so hard if you die yourself. Then you're cooking. Woo! Moving forward. If it's not your kingdom, but His kingdom, if you're not building a little kingdom yourself, but allowing His kingdom to be built, oh, it's a whole lot more fun. You don't get disillusioned. You just fall more and more in love with the King. So he wants to attack our emotional health. And, you know, there'd be lots of things in that category. In fact, some of them, you know, are going to mix with other categories, as you'll see. He wants to attack your physical health. He wants to come after you physically this year. Somehow find a way in to tear you down physically. You'll have something that the enemy wants to put on you. And it might be a false symptom, a false condition. He might convince you, oh, your head hurts. And not only does it hurt, but it hurts constantly and it won't stop hurting and it'll never quit. He wants to convince you of that. This headache is going to last. I can tell. These headaches are migraines. They don't go away. He wants to convince us of lies in this area, of things that are not really, many of them, even real, believe it or not. We've prayed for people with some symptoms that left like bam, and the Lord said it was false. It wasn't even real. The condition wasn't even real. I think I told you about being in Ghana and the enemy telling me that this pain in my leg, you know, it's going to go to your heart. You're going to die. Die, 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 die. It's going to go up your leg, going to go up your leg, going to go up your leg, all the way to your heart, going to die. And I said, it's not real. It's not real. This is not real. Not happening. It's a little stretched muscle, but it's not anything having to do with my circulatory system. Now, I didn't do that out of being such a wise person or strong in faith. I did that out of weakness. God help me. I know you have something better for me if I travel to Ghana than if I fly home with a medical condition. If I fly north in Ghana and not fly home. So this has got to be a false symptom. It's got to be a lie. And sure enough, started speaking that out, and before long, no pain in the leg anymore. It wasn't even real. It was a lie from the enemy. Now, there are real sicknesses and real disease, and the enemy wants to put them on us. But guess what? We have a healer. And he knew the enemy was going to try that attack before it even started. And whether it goes away in one prayer or it goes away in a season, we're going to stand, we're going to contend that it goes away. Why have church with a God that can't heal? When Jesus, everywhere he went, he healed all. Why have church if God doesn't heal? Now that could be boring at times. If you didn't believe God is as big as he is, not just healing, but everything, that could get boring in our hurry. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That would get boring in a hurry if he's not really holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That we would be so crazy, we have a bunch of wild people up here dancing and people playing the guitar like, wah, wah. And Mike McCray, wah, wah. Needed to give him my electric guitar. The guy was wound up. Where does that come from? We just trying to put on a big show? Well, tell you what, it doesn't work too well. So he wants to attack your physical health this year. I would take that personally, myself. Just a thought. He attacked me in the past year, you know, with the ankle, 3 broken bones, healed by God, no surgery, thank the Lord. He attacked me in the summer with kind of a high fever kind of deal when I got back from Ghana. Again, second summer in a row. That's not too much fun. That's got to go, and it did. Much shorter time this time. Gone. Thank you, Lord. Do I think I'm an expert in figuring out how all that works? When it doesn't go, when it does go, when, you know, when it's going to go, when it's not going to go. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't. Is that all right? Yes. It's all right. I can admit, I don't know all there is to know about healing in an all-powerful God. But it is sure awesome to put your seed in the ground of faith. You can never go wrong sowing into faith. Oh, but the person will be so disappointed. Really? Whenever I prayed for someone and they haven't been healed, they look like they're filled with more joy. They didn't get the healing right at that moment, but they're filled with more peace. They didn't get the healing at that moment, but they're filled with more joy. How does that work? It's because they were drawn closer to the all-powerful God and they're contending, they're believing more than they were the moment before I prayed for them or before the moment they prayed. So don't, you know, say to yourself, well, I won't pray for anybody. They might not be healed. Guess what? Join Those of us that have gone through that many, 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 many times, where someone wasn't healed on the spot, but we tell you story after story after story of people like the little boy in Ghana. We're leaving the village, it's getting dark, kind of, you know, put a hand out the window and pray for the boy. Don't even touch him. He's deaf. He's mute. He's with his uncle that brought him up to the door. We just kind of wave pray at him with a heart of wanting him healed, sure, but we're not going to see it unless it's really quick as we're pulling away. And that didn't happen. But we went back to the very same village the next year. A little boy came up to the African pastors and he said, "You know who I am?" Well, no. "Should we know you, little boy?" "Why, yes. I can now hear and I can now speak. That team out there doing that drama was here last year and I couldn't hear and I couldn't speak. I don't need my uncle anymore to take me around because I've been healed by Jesus." And those pastors bring him over to us. Talk about the rejoicing. After a year, we find out. Oh, that was fun. That was fun. That means that there are a lot of people out there that you and I have prayed for. We didn't see it at that moment. And Father God took it to the next and the next. And the next step, and they've been healed. See, he cares about them more than us seeing it. He really does. I love that. Just to find that out once in a while. It's like that sweet little thing. To find that out. So, this year, I would take it personally. In fact, I'd pray ahead of time. Just put your hand on yourself and pray ahead of time. Preventative medicine. Make your own diagnosis. I'm not going to be sick this year. In Jesus' name. And when something tries to attack you, you fight it. Just fight it. Get some people to pray for you. If you're here on a Sunday morning, Tuesday night, some other time, and you're sick, let us know about it. We want to contend with you, stand with you. Watch. See what God will do. How many have had a healing this past year? You know was from God. You know was from God. Think a moment. Think a moment. Oh, well, I had that flu, but wait a minute. It only lasted a day. I had a cold, and it only lasted 2 days. Usually lasts like a week and a half. That's God. Why not give him the credit? If you're wrong, he deserves the credit anyway. What's the big deal? Just give him the credit. I just go overboard in giving God the credit. You can't go wrong with that. Allow him to have all the glory. Awesome. So there's real sickness and real disease that the enemy wants to put on you. How you feel about that? Just going to take it? When his whole overall strategy is to kill, steal, and destroy you? Now, he's not like a little cartoon character. "Oh, it's the devil. Look at there. He's got the pointed, doing the boots, and he's got the little pitchfork. Isn't that cute?" No. He's nothing like that. He's your enemy.
"I'm a Christian. I don't have an enemy."
Oh, yes, you do. He is your enemy. And what you want to do is use God's strategies to defeat him at every turn this year. And I'm going to be here all year. I want to help you with that. I don't want you to have to go through any more suffering than you have. And you don't really have to. Don't put up with it. "But I have gone through suffering and I did stand." I don't understand all that. What if I died for Christ this year? You're healed. You know, you're in heaven. Okay? So you can't lose. Die for Christ, you're healed. You're in heaven. So there's a lot of things, you know, we don't completely understand. But we do know that you can't lose. Why not contend? Why not go after these things? Why not fight with God's strategies? So, obviously, he wants to attack your spiritual health. Your emotional health, your physical health, your spiritual health. One of the big ones, put it in capital letters, fear. That's spelled F-E-A-R, fear. That will negate a lot in your life, spiritually. If you fear, I'm not talking about fearing God, I'm talking about fearing man, fearing the enemy's attacks, fearing what's going to happen next, fearing the loss of something like a job, a home, a car. Fearing the loss of children that are prodigals. Fear can bring a lot of stuff to us, but not any of it's any good. None of it. We talk a lot about fear around here. It's because it's behind so many things spiritually that take you down. Even fear of someone else finding out, wow, you're not a perfect person. Wow, you had a season where you were disobedient. Even fear of that, not being open, saying, I'm not a perfect person. Had a season of disobedience. I was a mess for a season or whatever. You know, it's good for you. And it kills fear. Humility just slices fear to bits. Just slices it up in little pieces, and it has no effect on your life. Attack on your spiritual health. Condemnation. I'm not good enough. Rejection. They think I'm not good enough. Orphan spirit. Everybody thinks I'm not good enough. Inner vows. I will not be like my mother. I won't end up like her. I won't discipline like her. I won't be like her. I won't act like her. I won't. Gee, you look a lot like your mother. You act so much like your... Don't tell me that! I'm sorry you made an inner vow, and it's almost like a guarantee you're going to fall into the same stuff. Never say you're not going to be like anybody. Always say you're going to be like Jesus. That stuff gets washed out of your life. But don't say, I'm not going to be like, or I'm not going to act like, or I'm not... Oh, boy. Generational curses. Things from our past that are in our DNA, spiritually, that need to go. We can cast those things off. We can... root things. Cut it off right at the neck, you know, just wipe out these ties from the past that bring certain propensities into our behavior, into our character. I have this problem with anger. I don't understand. Where'd that come from? Such a nice person, but I just suddenly get angry. Just takes me over. What? Where's that? Man, I don't want to. Dad, I want to be nice and gentle and kind and loving and sweet and father's love slobbering all over everybody. How come I get angry? Well, something to look into would be generationally, it might have come down through that, and you might not even know the person that it came down through. My mom was really sweet. My dad was really sweet. Huh. Grandparents sweet, everybody. Kind, loving, no yelling. It can go back several generations. And just, you know, get with someone you care about and let them pray over you or whatever and just cast that stuff off this year. Don't let it. Well, I don't know if that really happens. Okay. You heard it from me first. If you don't believe in that stuff, It does. Okay? Truth is truth. It affects people. But I thought the cross took care of that, and Jesus took care of that. Have you met a lot of Christians, or what? Inner healing is so needed before people can be the powerful, prophetic, spoken over evangelists and teachers and preachers and so on that they're supposed to be. You wonder why you feel like you go up against a wall and you bounce back and you never seem to break through to those prophetic things that people have spoken over your life. A lot of it's inside you. And it doesn't help to take a good, you know, magnifying glass to your navel. That won't do it. You have got to say, God, come to me. Wash this out of me. Or have someone pray for you to do that. And then you'll find, wow, I'm breaking through some of the same things that were fears in my life, that were hindrances in my life. See, I've cast off the inner vows, the generational curses. I've gotten rid of the orphan spirit. I don't feel rejected anymore. I don't feel abandoned. I don't feel like I'm dirt in God's eyes, but I'm treasure. Now you're starting to get it. Oh, but I know God loves me. Prove it. Prove He loves you. Tell me He loves you. Speak it out when you're depressed. This year. Speak it out when you're sick. Honor the Lord in that way. You love me, God. I might be sick right now. My emotions might be all whacked. I might feel like I'm sliding down a hill into a mud pit, out into the sewage trail. But I'm telling you what, I believe you love me. I believe you're for me, not against me. I honor you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You're the greatest gift in my life. I'm so glad I met you, and I know you drew me to you. You gave me the faith to believe in you. Wow, you're wondrous. Oh, gee, that headache's gone. Huh. You know, it's not worrying about the stuff we have. It's worrying about, not worrying about, but turning our attention to the one that can take it away. I got a back problem. Can you get out of bed? Just barely get out of bed. Walk. Jesus died for this. Jesus died for this. Jesus, you died for this. Holy Spirit, come. I love God. I'm sharing them, but go watch. What do you think that language is for? And if you don't have it, don't be intimidated. It's not weird. It's a gift. Ever get a gift that you didn't quite understand? I don't understand. But I'm enjoying the gift. Because when I had a back problem, I got out of bed. Of course, I was with Pastor Mary Pat. You're going to get out of bed. But anyway. Just thought I'd throw that in. But just so you know, I had encouragement. So I get out of bed. I don't feel like getting out of bed. It hurts to get out of bed, but I start walking. She's right behind me. She's praying for me. I'm walking. She's praying. I'm speaking out in tongues. She's praying. I'm walking. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. Get back to bed, feel terrible. Maybe we should do this again. Came to church that night, because we had church at night. And it was my turn to speak, and I was clear back here. I was way back here. And now Pastor Bill will come up and give a message to us or whatever. And I'm like, he will? It took me a lot to just get out of the car to this point. And I'm standing pretty good right now, but I know when I start to move, it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. So I say, oh boy, that hurts. Boy, that hurts, boy, that hurts, boy, that hurts, boy, that hurts. Stopped hurting. Preached the message, no hurt. Animated. No hurt. Awesome. Got done with the message, it hurt. barely get to the car. Get in the car. What is going on here? It's the battle that you're going to win. It's the battle you're going to win. I don't care if it's depression, sickness, disease. You can tell because he gives you little clues. Like, you're ministering and it's not there. How does that happen? And then it's there right when you're done ministering. Do I take that personally now? I don't like that at all. Jesus died for this. It gives him glory to have this healed. So I go home. Start walking again, prayer, whole thing. It's gone. Wake up. And it's gone. Totally gone. No back problem whatsoever. So debilitating, I couldn't even get out of bed. So, 2 days before Mozambique, what was that thing we did in the summer? Cool project? I still had my ankle. It was in a big boot. Still being supported. Because I was going to go to Mozambique in boots to support my ankle, make sure everything's cool for that. Along with seeing God heal it. But I'm at the cool project. I got into that. I'm chopping this dirt off of this sidewalk. I wanted that sidewalk clean. Tom Carr and I... Who else? Joey and somebody else, maybe. Anyway, we went after that sidewalk, boy. We got that thing looking really great. I decided to go on the curb. We wanted to do that, too. Get that nice and whistle clean. And other people took, I know they took our idea, Tom. They saw that, and they decided to start doing it from the other end of the block. I know we had that idea. So they did their sidewalk up to ours. But there was a whole bunch of them. There were only three of us. And then they did the curb up to our curb. I felt pretty good at the end of the day. It was raining. I was dirty. I felt like I ministered right here in Canton. That Mary Pat, she might be in Mozambique. That Pastor Mary Pat might be in Mozambique. But I'm right here in Canton, Ohio, and I'm doing ministry for Jesus. With a, you know, ankle that's in process. So I went home. I was just, I got into my bedroom. And I started up the stairs. That's what it was. Started up the stairs. I'm alone. No one's there. No Pastor Mary to come from behind me, you know. I'm going up the stairs. Stiff back, and I have to leave for Mozambique in 2 days. I have to preach tomorrow morning. This should be fun. So I start thinking back. What happened when I had that back thing before? What did I do? And I just went after it all by myself. I didn't need Pastor Mary Pat this time. I want to go on record right here. I didn't need her this time. And I went after that, and I got into bed, and it was still there. I was like, oh. I got out of bed, and it seemed like it was leaving. Walked around a little bit more, some more prayer, got a shower. You know, the next day I came, I had no pain. I mean, it was sore. You see, we've got to do that. We've got to go after the enemy when he attacks us. We're too nice. I'm telling you people, you are too nice. Just stop it. Get some fire in that belly and go after your enemy. It's time. He's stealing from you. He's destroying some things in your life. You don't want that this year. No, 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 no. There might be habits you have, pride that comes in. Some of us are a little bit too independent in your spirit. I've noticed that this year. A few people here. If you want me to, I'll name names. You could use a little bit more counsel. A little bit more advice in your life. You're not taking advantage of the good people that God has provided for you to help you in life. Some of you need that more. I'll just be honest. I'll just hit you between the eyes. Even though you don't know who I'm talking about, that's even better. I look over at this side. Everybody,
Look over at this side. Get the, you know, heads going like this. If I did that, you know, went back and forth, it would really be a neat music video. But some of you are so independent. Let me give you a little tip. Dependence is better. Dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ is so much better. Dependence on Him and then allowing the leaders that He has put in your life, yes, He put us in your life, to speak into your life, to help, not to control. Believe me, I don't want to control your life. I really don't, because that gives me some kind of a good feeling or something, possibly, if I like that approach. But if I give you some counsel, some advice, and God comes in and convinces you through Holy Spirit that that's what's best, or a piece of it in there, in the mix, is what's best for you, and you are blessed by it and favored by it and step into things of God even more than ever, then He gets the glory, doesn't He? There's no glory for me. I just want to be a support to you, a help to you. Pastor Mary Pat, oh my gosh. If you only knew how much she loves you, how many hours she puts in that you don't see, so that you can be blessed, so the children can be blessed. You know, I see it. I give testimony of it today. She's not here. She cares. She really does. And she's not, you know, after she gets off the phone with you or off the text with you or off the internet with you, she's not coming to me and going, that person is rocka. I hope I never have to touch them again. She comes to me and wants me to join her for you, stand with her for you. Sometimes till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, she talks to me about you. You owe me sleep. I'm telling you right now, in 2011... I'm going to get more sleep. You owe it to me. Some of you have had habits that have been mentioned to you for how many years? Is 2011 the time when you allow God to take those away from you? Now, they can be physical habits. You know, a little. Or they can be habits like, I just like to talk about FMI in a negative way. Anytime I can get out of earshot of someone that really cares about it and is loyal to it. I just love that habit. Feels good. Feels like I'm all over it. Like FMI is a piece of dirt. Guess what? FMI is anyone that allies itself with it. It's not me. It's not Pastor Mary Pat. It's you. Why would you talk against yourself? I mean, if you want to make it personal, go ahead. That Pastor Bill, you know, he looked at me sideways. He didn't give me a greeting. He never hugs me. He never does. Let's make it personal. Let's not say FMI. That's just too nebulous. That's anybody in here. Or we can just allow God to take that habit out of our life. That suddenly you're celebrating the fact that we're a family and we care about the things of God and the kingdom of God. Celebrate our leaders that keep after us like, in many cases, bulldogs, to live deeper and higher and greater in the Spirit. What is wrong with that? If someone calls you this year and they ask you to call them back, call them back. Got one just now. That's me. That's instant obedience. All right, I know this message is going somewhere. Woo! I don't know who that was, but bless them this year. Someone wants to communicate with you and push you forward in the Spirit or ask you to possibly join in on something that we're all doing together in the body, don't avoid the communication. Well, I'm not doing so well, so I'm not going to call back. I'm not doing so well. I haven't made a decision yet. They're pressuring me. They're this, they're that, they're the other. That's the enemy's work. That's divisive. Hurts. So there can be all kinds of habits. And, you know, a New Year's resolution isn't going to work, is it? We've tried those. Not too effective. But a Holy Spirit resolution? Oh, my. Empowered by Him? Oh, ho, ho. We're going to be changed people. We're going to be happier this year. Enjoy life more. We're going to listen to God. Wow. The one that created us. The one that knows the enemy's plans before he ever tries to go against us. We're going to actually listen to God. God is good. God is good. God is good. Why wouldn't we listen to a good God? Thank the Lord you don't have an idol. They don't listen well. They can't hear when you speak to them. Can you imagine soaking to idol music? That would change Tuesdays completely. If you have more than just some besetting habits, habits that hold you back, habits that have been around way too long in a revival environment. No. Why are you hanging on to these? Why are they your friends? But let's say that they're not just some habits, but they actually are a lifestyle that's grieving God. Oh, I come and church, and I come to Fire and Wind, and I do some of that. However, the rest of the time is mine. I'm going to live the way I want, make the decisions I want. And there's a secret lifestyle out there. You know, there are some people in this room that have a secret lifestyle. They come to church, and they'll even occasionally come to the front. Woo-hoo! Worship God. Nothing wrong with that. A good way to have His Spirit, you know, get a hold of us and change a grieving lifestyle to Him. Now, if you think I'm thinking of individual people, at this moment I try to just forget what I know. But I do know some things. And I know more than you want me to know, and I know less than I should know. Because I care. If I didn't care and I just wanted to run you into the ground, then I should know less. But since I do care, maybe I should know more. See how I can help. See how the leaders here can help. See how the ones that are growing in the Spirit and wanting to minister can help. Isn't it great that some of the youngest people in this church are ministering the most? Isn't it great that some of the oldest people in this church have the most to give, and they still have years of ministry to us still usable and available to them. I want to receive more of that this year. More of their experience of walking with God over decades. I want to see that in the body. In the enemy trying to attack us and divide us, I want him cast down, defeated, under our feet. That's what I want. I think that's what Father wants, beyond me. Maybe it's a self-will thing. You ever put the idea of self-will, which just means I do my thing. I might mix in a little of God with it, but I do my thing. You ever put that with the idea that that's quenching the Spirit? Because it does. Doing your thing, doing my thing, in opposition to a loving Father, quenches the work of the Spirit inside of us so that we can't be as powerful as we should be. We don't have a heart to minister like we should have. We aren't as kingdom as we could be. Because we've decided, no, these areas are mine. I decide on these areas. I know he'll come and change me at some point, but right now they're mine. I'm going to hang on to these areas. You're quenching the Spirit in your life. Why would you want to do that? Why would I want to do that? If you see something in me like that, would you please let me know? Because I don't want to quench the Spirit. Let me know. I might give you a fuss at first. Get by that fuss. Mary Pat goes through that all the time. When she's trying to tell me something that will help my life. Just get by that first gate. And just charge right in. Pastor Bill, I see this in your life. How about both of us just walk through this together and see you change for the glory of God? Why couldn't you say that to me like I can say that to you? Should be possible. With self-will, it's just no. No, God. Admit, if it's happening, that you've been saying no to God. No, I will not put on the altar about missions in the next year. I won't do that. Because, well, I've gone in the past, or I went last year. You know, it isn't a good year for me. I've got this, I've got that. So, no, I'm not going to put that fully on the altar. Well, there's missions downtown, missions overseas. Well, it's not, you know, Friday night isn't a good night for me to go first Friday. I mean, everybody knows that. My favorite show's on that night. Everybody knows that. Anybody that knows me knows my favorite show is on Friday night. I can't go out on the streets. You know, some of the reasons, you might kind of filter them through Holy Spirit this year. Just a thought. They might seem just as silly as that one. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And besides, I can come up with better excuses than any of you. You forget, I taught 5th and 6th graders for like 25 years. They gave me all their ideas. And I am an expert at getting around things and, you know, making excuses. I learned from the best. He wants to attack us by just plain selfishness. I don't want people to walk on my carpet and come over and have a Bible study at my house. I don't want people to get into my car. I just had it cleaned. They want me to go downtown and pick up somebody that doesn't have a car. Why don't they have a car? Everybody I know has a car. How come they don't have a car? The point is, you have a car. And God gave it to you. to use for him. A van. A Mercedes.
Who is that anyway?
I just want to be inside one. A Bentley. A Maserati. God gave it to you. So, you know, make an attempt to use it for his kingdom. There's going to be somebody that needs a ride sometime this year. I don't know if you knew that. And many of you have done that. You've used your vehicles and you haven't said, well, this is my car. No, it's not. No, it's not. My house. No, it's not. I share my soaking center at my house with anybody that comes in. It's a 46-inch HDTV that has a sound system that we put in Christian music only. And it blasts the room and shows the selections on the big screen. I share that with anyone that wants to come over and soak with me. Sometimes when they're out soaking, I can actually put a football game on and the soaking music. Because you don't need to listen to the announcers, you know? You really don't. You can watch the whole game without ever hearing a word they say. You can be your own announcer. He's on the 45. He's headed to the 40. He's down to the 30. He is. Oh, he gets by the guy. He's all, it's a blast while someone's soaking. To Rick Pino. You know me. Sometimes the football players actually move to the music. It's an awesome system, I'm telling you. The Browns need worship music more than anyone. Woo, I helped them out just to win whatever amount of games they won. What was it, five? Didn't they have five? Weren't they like 5-7 at one point? Yeah, okay, never mind. Anyway, they need a lot of worship music going on. So, you know, apathy, just not caring. I don't care. I don't care. I don't really care. I don't care. I don't give a rip. What those people at church do. What Lawrence Liptak thinks of me? Can't even say it. I almost said Lawrence Tic-Tac. Sorry. I'm trying. Lawrence Liptak. I only say your first name. I don't usually do both. I don't care what Pastor Bill thinks, what Pastor Mary Pat thinks. Let me give you a little tip. You should. Excuse me. You should. Okay, now if you don't think I'm anointed by God to do what I do, you could maybe go to him and ask. Is Pastor Bill anointed by God to be a voice in my life? And I'm happy with whatever answer he gives you. You have my permission. Go ask God. Should Pastor Mary Pat Gokey be a voice in my life? Ask God. See what he tells you. Because I've had people go to other churches, you know, just for a special meeting. They were kind of part of the Bible study back in the day, and we didn't have a church. They'd go to another church to a special meeting. Fired up guy. He's bringing it. He's bringing the word. He's bringing everything. And God would speak to that young person and say, you're supposed to be aligned with Bill and Mary Pat. We weren't pastor anything. And they would come and tell us, God told me at this other church, at this other meeting with this really fired Spirit up, worship band and special speaker, I'm supposed to be aligned with you for some reason in the Spirit. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's great. Thank the Lord. Glad he spoke to you. Now, what if I had told that same person, you know what? I think you ought to be aligned with me. We got a Bible study. You should be aligned with me. I'm a Bible study teacher. I care about the kingdom. Align yourself with me. How far do you think that would go? Now, even if they did it for a while, it wouldn't last. It has to come from God. It has to come from Him. And I just trust in Him enough that He knows best who should be aligned here and who shouldn't and all of that. So I let Him speak to you. So you just ask Him, you know, this week, ask Him today before the service is over. You know, ask Him. I was just looking. I hadn't looked in a while. Just ask Him, am I supposed to be lined up in the Spirit and have Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill as a voice in my life? I'm good with whatever answer He gives to you. And if you want to just call me up and say, God told me you're not supposed to be a voice in my life. Just, you know, say it really good, you know. Voice in my life. A voice in my life. You're not supposed to be a voice in my life. No, you go right ahead. Just call me up and tell me that. And I guarantee you, I won't argue with you. Because if you're wrong, I think God is big enough to get you switched around. And before long, you'll be calling me up saying, you're a voice in my life. You're a voice in my life. You're a voice in my life. You know, He's that big. I don't have to make myself a voice in your life. I offer myself. And the Lord's the one that convinces you whether that's of any value to you or not. Not me. I can't convince you of that. Nor do I want to. It's too much fun to watch Him do it. People calling me up after 12 years saying, please forgive me. I know I didn't support your marriage, Pastor Mary Pat. And now I'm saying that was wrong of me. 12 years. It's sweet. Wrong team. Well, sorry. Yeah, okay. Got myself in trouble. Hey, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. This is what's next. The enemy will lie to you. It's right here. Come up and look. And it says, will you listen and believe his lies? Oh, boy. Anyway. It's true, though. A lot of these things can be summarized into fear and believing the enemy's lies and unbelief. A lot of these things. I don't really believe, you know, that God is that powerful in my life, or He doesn't really care about me, or whatever, you're going to fall for a lot of these strategies of the enemy, aren't you? So am I. We're going to fall for those. And what makes it so good to be part of a family is we can come to each other and say, oh, let me encourage you. You seem like you're falling for, wait, we don't usually say, you seem like you're falling for a lie of the enemy. No, we just encourage somebody. If they're feeling like, oh, God doesn't care about me, doesn't, you know, want to provide a mate for me, He doesn't want to take care of my future plans, He's not giving me anything, He's not talking to me, I want to hear from God, I want to know from God, I want to get somebody to encourage you that has heard from God. That makes sense. I've heard directional things from God many times. Jobs, career, next move, next step. I can encourage you. I might not be able to answer all your questions or answer your major question. Am I supposed to work here or there or go here or there? But I can give you encouragement that God will answer you. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. God will bring His gifts to you. That's what He's all about. That's who He is. That's what He wants to do. So do you want, along with me, to stand against these negatives? They're powerful. Negative things are very powerful. And some of us here have fallen for too many negative things in 2010. How do we avoid that for 2011? Well, the enemy has strategies. God has overwhelming strategies against the enemy's plans and for us. He's for us, never against us. God does not bring sickness. God does not bring disease. God does not bring suffering. Now, these things happen, but He didn't bring them. He's good. He wants the bad reversed. The problem is never on His part. It's always on our part. But we don't have to, you know, go into
slime on a pup's.
That doesn't help anything, because He tells us not to do that. I fail God so much, He doesn't even listen to me anymore. That's a bunch of baloney. It is. If you're still wanting God to hear, He's hearing. It's those people that just say, hand the face, God, you know, for a long season of time, God will abide by that. But if you're trying to hear from God and you want Him to hear from you, it's all ears. There's nothing you can do to stop Him from hearing from you or speaking to you. So for emotional health, I've already said it. Open yourself up for inner healing. More than you ever have this year. Oh, well, I just watched those other people go up front and, you know, get some healing. I'm glad for them. Maybe it's your turn. Maybe not all at once. But maybe it's your turn for some more inner healing. If you've noticed some things come out in your life in 2010 that you don't like and you don't want there, open yourself up. It doesn't have to take hours, even though most FMI things do. Not all sessions with a person have to take hours. Sometimes it's very quick that they receive the peace and the healing. Emotional health? Try sonship. Great pill. Sonship. You're valued. You're cared about. You're loved. You're appreciated. You're not just a nothing. Your best years are in front of you. Always. Not behind you. You've not done the greatest thing you're going to do for God yet. It's still in your future. The enemy wants to convince you, no, you're done, you're cooked, you're, this is it. Nothing. Nothing more. You've already done your best. Maybe college, you were on fire, but you're not on fire now. Maybe when you were in that youth group, you know, years ago. That's a lie. Your best years are always in front of you. The best, highest, greatest victories are always in front of you if you allow them to be. If you are comforted to the point where you can comfort others, receive more comfort, and you'll be a better comforter. be able to warm them like a blanket with your comfort because you've received so much comfort being poured in. Well, you're going to get a lot more comfort after 50 years than you are after 3 years. And so all that comfort can be given to people. Why are we thinking that when we get old, we're not cool anymore, and so we're not going to be able to give out anything to anybody because nobody will listen? Whoa, have you read the book? The oldest ones in there still giving it out. Let's get on the boat. Okay. There's going to be a flood, but it hasn't rained yet. Get on the boat. Okay. They're listening to some old wacko guy that built a boat in the middle of the desert. But they listened and were saved. The members of his family. It could have been the easiest ones to say, oh yeah, that's the last idea he had. Build a casino in Las Vegas. He didn't know where it was. But they listened to the oldest guy on the planet at that point. Smart. So I want that for each of us, that when we get to our elderly years, people in droves are going to be listening to us. They're not going to be years of loneliness, years of separation from everybody else. For physical health, just healing. Like I said, pray for it ahead of time. Get your family together. Get your couplehood together. Get your couplehood and your little hood together and pray for everybody. That there would be no sickness this year. No sickness. Pray ahead of time, before the sickness hits. Before it even is a lying symptom. Don't let it even get to that. Pray for the new babies and the old babies. Pray for everybody. Be a praying machine for healing ahead of time. For spiritual things, deliverance. Willing, if someone says to you, I think this is an issue that needs some deliverance, don't sit there and go,
not me. That means devil, doesn't it?
Just think of it as, I'm getting rid of something in me that will prevent me, stop me, hold me back, quench me. Then you won't care, about the word so much. And that thing will go. Whether it's a spirit or just general evil or a malaise or a fog or a confusion, whatever it is, got to go this year. But you have to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Here I am. I know I've got stuff. Deliver me, Lord. Present yourself to Him first. And then if you need additional help, present yourself to someone to receive prayer. Why not? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The truth shall set you free. What's the Christian life supposed to be about? Being free, not being overwhelmed, but being an overcomer. That's what I want for you during this year. It's going to take a willingness, a humility, an interdependence. Where you might think, well, I'll just be alone with my own thoughts with God. After all, Holy Spirit does speak to me, and I have heard Him before, and I heard from the Word, and I know. So I'll just be me, myself, and I with God, and we'll just travel this road together and we'll make all the decisions just the two of us. So it's a whole different ballgame when you run things by someone that has walked with God for a number of years. To bounce it off them, they're not making your decision for you. In fact, some people keep telling me, will you just quit telling me to ask Holy Spirit? I already knew that. Then why do you do it when you meet with me? Or you meet with Pastor Mary and Pat? Well, I thought I did till I met with you. I don't know what it is. It's just something about being interdependent. It works better. It sticks better sometimes. Not all the time. Don't come to us for every little detail. You know, you've got other spiritual leaders you can go to, or it's, you know, it's a detail that you can handle with God. He'll give you wisdom as to what to bring forth. But there are things you need help with. I need help with. Sometimes you come to me for help and I get help. It's awesome. I go to India to minister and they minister to me. Sweet. I go there to be, you know, to be radically after the kingdom of God because they love Jesus so much, and they teach me what radical is all about. But if I didn't go, I couldn't be taught by the best, those that are really selling their lives out for Jesus. So, last statement. Will you allow the enemy to throw you around as a rag doll this year? I want you to get that picture in your mind. You know, like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, like James. Wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Are you going to be a rag doll in the enemy's hands this year? Or are you going to be a roaring lion in his face? You're going to be a rag doll just kind of, you know, whacked around by the Lord and, you know, you tell other people you're struggling, but you don't really want to tell anybody that will speak into your life. You tell unbelievers you're struggling with life, but you don't tell your own spiritual family. You just tossed and like a rag doll, and the enemy just throws you against things up in the air, and he's having fun with you, you know. Or are you going to be a roaring lion in his face? You're just going to come to the enemy, and you're going to say, you've lied to me. You have been giving me physical problems. I don't like. I'm a king's kid. I don't deserve it because I'm Father's treasure. In fact, he has my picture on his big, fat refrigerator. So you stand back. You get lost. Your strategies are now unveiled, and you will not bother me any longer. I love him. He just takes it and smiles. Some people would walk out and never come back to the church. Let's thunder against the enemy this year. And it's going to take more than you by yourself. No lone rangers. Thunder in his face this year. Roar in his face this year. And by that, you're just glorifying God, because that's exactly what he expects us to do. We are to tear down the works of the enemy, because Jesus loves to do that. We are to be participants in abundant life rather than the enemy's strategies to steal, kill, and destroy. We need each other for that. Interdependence. So, we'll see if this works. G. just want to end with a song. You may have heard this one before. If we could stand. Wow. We're going to try it. Pick in here.